Happy Friday, everybody. Former Wolverine Jerry Diario is in the house. I don't want to say it's the greatest time ever, Jerry, but it's always great talking with you. We got all kinds of things going on to talk about, so it is great. How you doing?
Great to be a Michigan Wolverine, Denny. It's a great day. Got one of our guys in the first round, and looks like we're going to have an exciting next few days here in the NFL draft.
Jerry, I liked how you jumped right into it and talked about the draft. We are going to hit on the draft and a couple other things regarding Michigan. First, I wanted you to make everybody aware of something about a Michigan alum, and his name is Brian Wallace. Give us the details there before we move on.
All right, Denny. Well, first of all, I want to throw out a couple of high fives and credentials to the FAM. That's the Football Alumni of Michigan. Michigan Football Alumni. That's FAM. And it's a great organization. It was started under Jim Harbaugh and Jim Hackett. They brought this thing together, and what their objective was originally was to connect former Michigan football players and current Michigan football players and try to get our young guys jobs coming out of college, because it's a difficult experience. And FAM has been fantastic. It has really connected our alumni, got our young men some jobs, and it's one of it's an only kind of thing. Michigan is the only team that does this. They've been doing it now for almost 9 years, 10 years. And it has done some phenomenal things. Like I said, job placement, career opportunities, career development, been phenomenal that way. But it's also created a network to help former Michigan football players, former Michigan football alumni that are having problems. And right now we have a brother, Brian Wallace, played in the late 80s, early 90s. Played with Bo and played with Mo. And about 5 years after he was out of school, he was diagnosed with MS. And he's really had a struggle putting careers together and keeping jobs and stuff like that. But at this point, and it's affected his whole family. His wife has had medical issues as well. But FAM has done some reaching out. We're doing a fundraiser. We have a GoFundMe for him. I'm going to take you to that real quick, Denny. If you would like to donate to Brian Wallace, if you go to, let me see, where is it? Where are we got? Present, show screen. Here we go. If you want to donate to the GoFundMe page, Denny, here it is. All you go to GoFundMe, go to search for individual fundraisers, search, type in Brian Wallace, and this is Brian right here, his MS fundraiser. This is the kind of thing that FAM has done. It has been absolutely phenomenal over the years. I know some friends of mine that have benefited from their help. Brian is in need, has MS. Family is struggling because of some of the related illnesses, and would be really good for the Michigan family to get behind one of our own, Brian Wallace. It's been a great program. And one other thing I want to share with you here, Denny, is the Michigan or the Football Alumni of Michigan. This is another screen here. This is where you can go to Team Assistance Program. And you drop down here and This tells you a little bit about what the program does, what they're trying to accomplish here. It's like I said, FAM has just been fantastic. I really appreciate it when Coach Harbaugh came in on it and started this whole thing. I thought it was a need area way back when. And so FAM, TAP have been outstanding. And from FAM also came Clay Miller's mentoring program, where that is connecting the former alumni with the current players and introducing them to careers and possible opportunities.
Good stuff. Go FAM. Good job, Jerry. And all the best to the Wallace family. Right. Now.
God bless them.
We've got, there's Jerry. I saw him at the spring game just a little while back there. It was good to see you for the first time, Jerry. And you didn't look as, you know, it was cold out there, but you know, you had a big smile on your face. So it was nice to see you. We've got a couple guys that hit the transfer portal. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Give our thoughts. Jerry has got some spring film that he's going to show. I'm looking forward to that. But you know, you mentioned it right there at the start, the NFL draft. And so last night, you know, you had it in Detroit. You had JJ McCarthy going 10. You had all the offensive players. You had half the quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. The Falcons make one of the most curious moves, stupid moves of all time. And then you get the Lions able to get maybe the top corner by moving up in the 20s, the corner from Alabama. So great night all around, Jerry, when it comes to the NFL draft in Detroit and the Detroit Lions and Michigan.
JJ going in that spot to Minnesota. First of all, I think that's a great pick for Minnesota, and I think it's a phenomenal fit with JJ in the Vikings. The Vikings aren't one of the – you know, this is the thing I've always said. You don't want to – I never liked drafting a number one quarterback pick when you don't have an offensive line, you don't have receivers, you don't have tight ends, you don't have running game. I think that's a recipe for failure when you put the franchise quarterback out there with nobody in front of them. I think the Vikings have done this pretty well. I think they did well last night picking JJ. They have the offensive line in place. They have one of the best tight ends in the NFL. They've got arguably the best receiver in the NFL, and they just added a nice running game to it. So JJ going to the Minnesota Vikings, I can see him actually stepping in and competing for a job right off the bat with all those questions answered. You have the offensive line, you have the receivers, you have the tight ends, you have the running back. There's no fear now to put a rookie quarterback in there. The fear is the inexperience, but as far as injury and killing his confidence, I think you feel pretty good if you're Minnesota.
Yeah, the fear is like Richard says, you know, he went to the North, and the fear is that the Lions are going to play the Vikings, and it's going to come down to winning the division to get a home playoff game or something like that. You're going to be a Michigan fan, and you're going to be like, oh man, you got to root against JJ, you know. But there was 20 years that you've had this experience with Tom Brady, and it wasn't all that bad. It gave you another team. Now the Lions weren't any good, and you know Brady was in the AFC, so they didn't cross paths very often. Two times right. A year, they're gonna have to tangle with JJ. So you know, but hey, everything can't be perfect, right? Right?
Yeah. I tell you right now, you look at that Norse division in the NFC, and I think they went from middle of the pack or maybe lower middle of the pack to probably one of the toughest, if not the toughest divisions in football. I mean, you have two of the three finalists in the NFC last year, the Lions and the Packers. Packers are going to be good. The Bears, okay. Denny, I understand what you're saying, but you got to give it to LaFleur last year. I think he did a heck of a job coaching him, and that's going to continue on. The Lions, obviously, they're the defending champs in that division, so they're looking real good. And then what the Bears did last night, you know, Caleb Williams, I'm not really crazy about him. I told you I would rather take Justin Fields and get Harrison, but they did well with their receiver as well. So they answered a lot of questions, got a running game with Swift. So the Bears are going to be very formidable. And like I said, the Vikings had a lot of the pieces in place. Now they got a quarterback that can electrify you. And so that Norse division is going to be very, very good.
I'm with you there. Yeah, I think, Scott, that the Vikings signed the former Packer running back Aaron
Jones. Yes, they did. Jones. Yes, they did. Yes, well, they did.
Yeah, two pretty good tackles. They got the Lions former tight end and Hockenson. You already mentioned the wide receiver. And they've got Addison, who was a rookie from USC. Right. He's not too shabby either. You mentioned the other JJ, Justin Jefferson. Yeah, it's going to be fun there for the North. Is going to be difficult. There is no question about that. How about it? J times four is what Andres is saying. And Andres is nothing is going to stop him now from being a Vikings fan. Yeah, I mean, that's right. I get that. Would, you know, Tom Brady won so many Super Bowls. It was always the thing, like, if Tom Brady played the Lions in the Super Bowl, you know, what was a Michigan fan to do? You know, you could look at it a bunch of different ways. You're just going to be happy however it happens, right?
Yeah, that would be a beautiful thing, wouldn't it? Richard, I understand what you're saying. The Lions still the team to beat in the NFC, and their pick at corner, I've always said, I think the Lions – I've said recently that I think the Lions have two need areas, another – edge rusher to help Aiden out, and a lockdown corner. And I think getting the young man out of Alabama was a solid pick, and I think that's going to only help the defense out.
Yeah, it really looks like Brad Holmes knows what he's doing. And you know, sometimes you just let the because of the offensive players that got picked, those defensive players got pushed up. Holmes is like, here's a third rounder. We'll be able to get the number one corner. And that's an A. You know, you grade it looks like an A. If I and you know how many years did I sit around grading the Lions draft, and I hated it because I'd get my red pen out. I'd say, I'm sorry, I'm gonna get even an F or something. You know, picking the slippery butterfingers, Eric Ebron or something. But no, they get an A right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. Especially over the last 2 years, the 2 years before this, the Lions. Yes, they are the team to beat.
And not only, and you had the Michigan flavor, it's in Detroit. You get tonight, there's going to be, you know, double-digit Wolverines going over the next 2 days, and you're going to see if they're able to eclipse 15. They need 14 more players drafted, so it's going to be fun over these next 2 days, and they'll still be down in Detroit. To a lot of fun, Jerry, to not so much fun. Michigan, what the heck happened here? A trio of players hit the portal. All with some promise. Amir Herring, the offensive lineman from the state of Michigan. Jeremiah Beasley, who was a should be in high school, and he went through spring, and he's out. And then DJ Waller from – Jerry, do you know where Waller's from?
Yeah, Danny, I know where Waller's from. Youngstown, Ohio, big fella.
I knew you knew where he was from. So I don't know what do you tell the Michigan fans about three players like this all going in the portal?
Well, you know, as far as Herring is concerned, I think he saw a little bit of the writing on the wall, and I'm not sure he was competing at the same level as some of the guys that are out there right now. I watched them a little bit in the spring game, and you know, you see a really full room on the offensive line. You've got about 8-9 deep there, and I think he was looking to start contributing now, and I don't think he saw himself contributing this year this early. So it'll be interesting to see where he winds up. I thought he was a little bit bigger than when I saw him on the field Saturday, but I think he had some issues. Waller is a that's a bad loss. I'm really disappointed in that. I thought he was really ironing out a starting position in the secondary. I thought a lot of versatility there that maybe you could experiment with him at the safety or something else. But that was very disappointing to me. I was not real happy to see him leave. And then Beasley, if I remember correctly, he was in our Ann Arbor practicing for the bowl games, if I remember correctly. And then going through spring ball, that had to be a shock. Again, I'm not sure if he saw himself in the contribution end of it. And I think that had something to do with it. But, Waller, I think, is the biggest loss because I think he had a lot of versatility and I think he was going to be contributing in a big way. Beasley and Herring, I think they're going to be lost later on. Maybe their junior or senior year when I think they were able to compete, but I don't think they were either one of them were going to compete too much for playing time next year or maybe even the year after.
Yeah, I'm with you on that assessment. It's coming down now with the transfer portal. Players want to play for a winner. You know, Michigan obviously checks that box. So then it's coming down to playing time and money. And what can you do? Waller, he was in the two deep, but you know, it's, how much money can you give him? You promise him playing time. They just went through the spring and all of that. You know, you're a Michigan fan because, you know, last week Michigan gets the defensive end from Illinois, Nathan Marshall, and you know, you're ready to throw a party. You feel great. You feel like $1 million, Jerry. And then you have these three players hit the portal and you get mad and you get depressed. But I, you know, this is the way football is now. I know everybody knows that. I think you just look back to last year. Michigan was able to snatch Hausman from Nebraska. Did they really need him? I don't know. It was a great depth piece. And, you know, they got Wallace from UMass and Nugent and Henderson and Hinton, all of these offensive linemen and guys like Trente Jones and Barnhart. Those guys could have been like, I'm out of here. And they stayed. And you know, this is where it's at now. You got to talk yourself through it. But, no, you don't like seeing talented players walk out the door.
You know, I think this is the future with the transfer portal. I mean, kids are staying in school 5, 6, maybe even 7, 8 years. I saw a kid last year on Western Michigan's team and been there 8 years. So you're going to obviously see some of these younger guys frustrated in their playing time. And maybe they're not seeing – all the way through the tunnel. They're not looking down the road too far, and they want to see playing time now. And there's somebody else put out there money. Some of these guys are being enticed. I wonder what Waller was enticed by if that was the case. A lot of these guys, these young kids are a little frustrated that they're not seeing time as early as we have in the past. The nice thing about Marshall out of Illinois, Michigan's core has always been Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, Chicago primarily, and Western PA. And when we get guys out of Chicago, Illinois, that always bodes well with me, especially getting them from teams like Notre Dame and some of those other teams that are nationally recruiting Illinois. It's good to get that edge rusher, and edge rushers they're beautiful. They're a beautiful thing to have on your roster.
Well, you just don't know how it's going to unfold. If there was the transfer portal, if it was going on for the last 20, 30, Tom Brady would not have done what he did at Michigan. And he was ready to leave. He was in there slamming his fist on Carr's desk and everything else. He probably would have hit the portal. One thing, these guys don't have to deal with adversity. You know, if they're like, I don't like where I'm out of here. You know, they just poof, they're just gone. They can leave that part. You know, what are you going to do about it's going to make for a different kind of a player when you can just, if coach yells at you, you can be like, I'm out of here. You know, so whatever, before you couldn't, but the players would all choose this because they want money and they want the freedom to move. So they wanted it. And, you know, that's where we're at. You can't do anything about it except cry or cheer if you're on the other end and you're able to grab players.
Eventually, right? They're going to have to come up and regulate the transfer portal, just like they're going to have to do something with revenue sharing and or NIL. These are all new areas of college football we have never experienced before. And it's going to be interesting to see how the heads start addressing these issues.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jerry, we've got some film to go over from that spring game. And so that is going to be exciting to walk through. And
here we go, Denny. I'm going to show this first play because it's kind of like my favorite play, Denny. It's the old power play, kick out, pull around. And if anybody knows how to defend it, Michigan does. And if anybody knows how to run it, Michigan does. And here in play one, you got strength on strength. Let's watch this thing. First of all, Danny, let me explain one thing here real quick. If I'm doing a show on the Big Ten and a preview, what I want to look at is, first of all, have the coaches changed? In Michigan's case, obviously, yes. And a lot of new coaches, some on the offensive side have just moved around, but they're in different roles. The defensive side, totally different staff. However, when you look at the staff and look at who has influenced them, a lot of familiarity. And I think Joe Klatt hit that as well. You know, a lot of same, a lot of different. That's where Michigan is. Here we look at, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 young men coming back on this, on the field right now. Five young men coming back on the field right now. That's a good sign. Three on defense, and I'm including Bredesen on offense, and I'm including Donovan Edwards on offense. These guys have started and played for Michigan sometime throughout their career. Donovan Edwards picking up where Blake left off last year and went with his injury. Bredesen has been a solid performer for Michigan. So Michigan does have a lot more on offense. What I'm trying to say is Michigan has a lot more on offense returning than I think what people are giving credit for.
Jerry, let me ask you a question. You're at the spring game. When they come out there for the first play, are you telling everybody, like, look at this? We've got – this is Michigan's bread and butter. Look at everybody. Or, you know, are you just taking it in? What are you doing as you're sitting in the stands there?
Well, I was down on the field, Denny.
Oh, you're down on the field. Okay.
I was down on the field. I went to both sides of the field, the blue side and the May side. Went up to Donovan, shook his hand, and I said, I'm expecting our running game to not take a backseat to last year's running game one bit. And he said, no way. And I honestly believe that our running game can be just as good as last year, because we have so much more depth in the backfield, a lot of thickness and a lot of speed in the backfield. So there's a lot of competition at that tailback position. That answer your question, Denny?
Yeah, you know what? It did. And then you went above, Jerry, about answering the question. I liked it.
Maybe created another question, right? Anyways, Denny, here is Josiah Stewart. Maybe one of the best outside edge players in the Big Ten, at least, maybe in the country. You have Bredesen right here at fullback. He's going to kick out. Watch how Michigan plays this power play, how tight everything has to be, and Edwards still gets through. Watch the collision at the point of attack. Stewart comes in and just stops that hole from going right now. He is condensing that hole on Bredesen. The problem is, watch Bredesen finish the play. That's Josiah Stewart that he just did that to. Mm. So that path, look at how tight this path is. I want to point that out real quick, Denny. Watch how tight this path is. We used to call this a J path in high school, and usually it was from the halfback position. But he's running kind of down and then kicking out, that J-type path, and does a great job on Stewart. We see a nice double team between Gentry and Klein. And then I wanted you to look at how tight the defense comes in. Look at the linebacker, number 34. He's meeting the guard right in the hole. Boom. You got Klein up on the linebacker. Everybody knows this play, and everybody knows what they're doing. We still scoot through there for about 10, 11 yards. Bredesen just buries Stewart, and I don't think I've ever said that before. And then watch people bounce off Donovan as he's running.
I like how he gets skinny through that little tight crease too.
That is such a tight crease, because you know what, Denny? This is a team that knows how to defend the power, and this is a team that knows how to run the power, and the team that knows how to run the power won on this play right here. They got up on linebackers, they got movement on the line of scrimmage, and they got a heck of a kick out there.
Now, Jerry, I got to stop you. This is exciting to me. I don't know if you plan things out with Scar or not, but both of you guys were excited to show this first play. And you had to, both of you said a lot of the same things. However, Scar went to Gentry. The first very thing that he said, you got to look at 75, collapse on the side of the defensive line. He's coming down and smashing guys. And then you go to Josiah Stewart and what he's able to do. So what's interesting to me about that is that, of course, you were the former offensive lineman and Scar was the former defensive end. And you guys are talking about, you know, the other side of the ball there. I don't know. Was that planned or not?
No, I think we're looking at the same thing. And I did see Scar's podcast and his critique, and I didn't want to step on anything there. But I did want to point out that Bredesen block on Stewart, how tight both teams play that power play, and the breakthrough of power against Michigan, you're going to have to be pretty good. And this is a heck of a job blocking it, getting up to the next level. And then Donovan Edwards gaining 15 pounds looks very, very good. I do want to point out one defensive guy, Etta, right here. This young man right here, watch him play over the block. And I'm not sure who that is. Anderson from, I believe he's Georgia, right?
Raheem Anderson. Yeah.
Anderson blocking back on Etta. Watch Etta play over the top. And if Etta doesn't make this play, this could be a lot bigger. Cause you see JJ's Donovan's already through Hill and past number 14. So if Etta doesn't get there, that play could have been a lot bigger play. Okay. That's a good job by Etta is what I'm saying there, the way he plays over the top. All right.
Raheem Anderson is out of Cass Tech, right in Detroit.
Anderson is?
Yeah, Raheem Anderson, 62.
Okay, maybe I was thinking somebody else. Okay.
Okay. I was going to double check it out. That's all right.
Okay, Denny, this is one of the things that I think I had a big concern over. I love our coaching staff. I love what we did there. I love the familiarity. I think our kids are going to be very familiar with the languages. But I think Wink is going to run a lot more man coverage than we're accustomed to the last 3 years. And a couple of things I want you to look at. Number one, when the receiver goes in motion, the cornerback goes with them. That tells Orgy right now it's man. If you look out here, this is Will Johnson. This is maybe the best corner in college football, if not one of the top three or five best corners in college football.
I'll go with the best corner. I'm ready. I'm ready for that.
Okay, and then we have a safety here, right, Reyes, who when we're in man, I got this clue that these safeties, the first thing they do when we're in man is drop. And so it's almost like we're going 10 on 11 from the defensive perspective. Watch the separation we get with Johnson with the outside leverage. Orgy should have hit this throw, and we have to correct this. This is something we have to correct because I guarantee you Ewers is going to hit this throw. He's too wide open there. Orgy's going to make that throw in the future. I don't have any doubt with that. I know he's going to hit that throw in the future.
Were his feet dancing a little bit here?
I think it's all nerves, Denny. The first throw, we didn't go over the boot pass, and he missed Bredesen, who was wide open. He could have made that pass a little bit easier. I think it's just nerves coming out. Being a starting quarterback, I think he settled down later in the game and did a real nice job. But this should never happen with Will Johnson. And the only reason is it's not his – I don't know if it's his technique or not. It's just we put him in a bad position with that man coverage. And I've seen a lot of this Saturday. One deep and five rushing. And last year, I saw a lot more nickel defense with four men coming. So I'm a little bit concerned with this. This is a problem for me. No way should a receiver be that wide open against our defense. a little bit concerning.
Well, Jerry, do you know who's throwing out the first pitch tonight for the at the Tiger game?
Well, I know Blake Corum did a couple weeks ago, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Alex Orji is throwing out the first pitch. So hopefully we see a strike, because if we see something like, I don't know, like 50 Cent or something, we'll be in big trouble then. But, you know, yeah, let's see him groove one right in there for a strike.
Don't miss, Alex. Okay. This is something we have got to do a better job of. And this is something that we just we were blessed that our offensive line could move combos and stay on the same level as their teammate, so we could pass off these kinds of stunts. This is something we're going to have to get better at, because what we're doing when we lose five offensive linemen, this is the kind of stuff that we're losing, that experience. I want you to watch Gentry. He turns his shoulders, and that means he's not going to be able to block this three technique getting upfield. TJ Guy, he has answered my question on the third edge, no question about it. But we've got to do a better job staying square with the line of scrimmage and picking it up. There's no way Gentry makes that block if it's not a real quick pass. Now, one thing I did like about Alex Orji, this pass right here, look at that pass. Fourth and two, he throws it to where the defender is not. Throws it to the outside, lets Bredesen go get it, and he even kind of throws it right. Nice little point. Little sidearm right there. Don't you see that, Denny?
Yeah, no question.
Hey, that's a nice little trick. That's something that comes with a very talented person. So this was very encouraging to me to see Alex improvise like that and make that kind of throw. That was very good.
Hey, was that Orji or was that Matt Stafford? Come on.
Did I say Stafford?
No, I'm saying Matt Stafford. I'm saying Matt Stafford.
Okay. All right. Now, here we have Davis Warren. I don't know if the audience knows this. Davis is a cancer survivor. He missed the last 2 years of his high school career with COVID and, I believe, cancer as well. And so that's why he's a preferred walk-on. He missed his last 2 years. And I got to tell you, I think our coaching staff had the quarterback situation right with Orji number one and Davis Warren number two. I was very impressed with Davis Warren. I thought he did a great job when he was in there, and he moved the team well. And he had a nice command of the team, and I like that. Okay.
I like his arm.
Yeah, great poise in the pocket, and liked a lot about him. I think he did a great job out there, and it was nice to see him out there. So here we got the first offensive play from the maze. And again, I'm going to point out, let me see, where are we at here? One, two, portal transfer returning. Malachi Page, another three starters. I don't have Loveland out here because he is not starting for the maze. He might have been banged up a little bit and that sort of thing. You know, there's a lot coming back that Michigan has. That's what I'm trying to say right there. Mullins, another guy, saw plenty of action returning. And I thought he ran hard. I'll tell you, the one gentleman that really impressed me was Dunlop. I liked the way he ran the ball and came in. I do want you to say, look at our defensive line. Watch the hands of Graham. Watch the hands of, who is this? Is this 92 or 52? Who was that? I think it was 92 on the blue team. That was
Ike Iwana.
Iwana, yeah. Iwana. Watch the extension. That's what you want to do as a defensive lineman, as a defensive player. You want to extend those arms. You don't want to play in that telephone box. You want to get them out away from you, engage, disengage, and extend. And that's what our defensive line does a great job of. Watch him. Watch Graham punch. That line of scrimmage never moves. It stays.
I want to see it.
What's that?
I'm just making jokes. I want to see it. Yeah.
Okay. I want to see it. Yep. See that? Look at that punch by Graham. Look at that punch by Iowana. Look at the punch by Barnum. This is a great punch by Barnum. And this kid, I'll tell you what, he is not – I don't know if he's getting as much credit as he really deserves. This Roland kid impressed me Saturday. He had a nice punch. I saw him plenty of times come down and really just stone offensive linemen. So that was a good defensive play right there. And I saw a lot of good technique right there by our defense.
Nice job on Jimmy Rolder. We've seen a lot of Jimmy Rolder in his first 2 years, so he's got some experience and some pretty big time games.
Another kid that you don't want to say he's a starter, but he's got plenty of experience. Here's another two young men that come back this year. Let me see if I can get this here right. Who am I looking at? Shamaj Morgan and Mullins. So, again, guys that didn't start last year but did see plenty of action. I would love to see him really solidify that punt return position, catch balls, and be returning, because he is one dangerous player. Shamaj Morgan is. But, again, here we're coming with five. And here we have a wide open crossing route. And I think we really got to concern ourselves. Horrible. That's not a very good block by Mullins. But from what I understand, Barnum's been pretty intimidating this spring. But that ball should have been caught. And it's a big play if it is caught. One of the things that I was a little bit concerned with coming out of the spring, I thought we really showed an aggressiveness in blitzing. And sometimes, you know, there's got to be a reason to blitz.
I like how Davis Warren hung in there. You know, you got somebody right in your face there. He kept his head up. He didn't panic. He put the ball out there. A lot of times you get a guy wanting to move around or, you know, changing his – he delivered the ball even though it wasn't converted. I would think that he would have graded out well if they – and they do grade out every play. I think he probably got a passing grade, so to speak.
I think he did a great job. If I'm in the coach's room, I'm probably hearing him say that I saw man coverage and I knew what was going to be going on because of the leverage of the outside linebacker versus a tight end or versus a receiver. Because I think he picked that up, and I think he did a real good job exposing that.
Good sign. Yeah.
Here's another man coverage. We're man all the way across. Man all the way across. He knows it. He knows Barnum is man on Mullins. So what he sees, he's got some leverage here with Tonelli on this tight end cross. He knows they're a man. Morgan goes in motion, brings the defense with them. And then we have separation. That, I don't think Wolder will be there. I think 72, who is that? Not Link, but Bounds. Totally missed. He missed this assignment. He just missed that assignment. But I don't think Roland's gonna. Rolder's gonna be there. But this is way too open. That's way too open. Tonelli, he showed me something. He's got some pass catching skills. I think we're gonna be real good at the tight end position. Klein showed me something. Klein showed me some real good things blocking, which was real nice. But I think we've got some tight ends that have some ball handling skills and that can block. So I was very impressed with our tight ends. But to me, hopefully this is just us in the spring ball. Look at that separation right there. Look at that leverage right there. That's an easy pitching catch. There's complete mismatch. Andrew Ghetto, 5'9", 190. Versus Tonelli, 6'5", 250. And he's got a 3-yard separation. This is a mismatch, and teams are going to exploit that. So we've got to do a better job when we are coming with five, and a better job on coverage.
Michigan can get these tight ends on any linebackers. That's advantage Michigan, right?
Absolutely, especially when they're crossing. If you're in man coverage and you're and we got tight ends crossing, that's a real problem for defenses. A real problem for defenses. I like seeing this right away, giving everybody in their brothers some more headaches. A lot of offensive linemen on the field. I think we got what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I believe 7, and it might even be 8. Offensive lineman on the field right here. So this is the kind of stuff that just scares the bejeebies out of our opponents. Here's Roller coming down again. Great punch. Great punch. That's Tristan Bounds. That's a big young man. That's over 300 pounds that Roland's coming. I love his aggressiveness coming down on that run play. But he bottles that thing up. Great job. No movement on the offensive line there. That's concerning, but I think Rolder did the job by really popping that hole and stuffing that hole right back in the hole. So Rolder really showed me some stuff. I was very impressed with Rolder.
Jerry, if I told you that Rolder's like a two-down thumper, more of a guy, if it looks like it's going to be a rundown, you could see 30 in there, maybe not as much if you're talking about in pass coverage.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's the kind of thing that we're finding out right now. Hausman might be a better pass defender than Rolder. So that's a nice thing to find out in the spring. I mean, you know, we saw Rolder against Ohio State, and he had a little bit of an issue with the tight end there. But looks real good coming down on a run game. So that's encouraging. I like that. All right, so where are we at now? Here's another returner. Here's our one returner. Again, Warren sees he's got a mismatch. One-on-one, throws the ball. Now, I was not real crazy about Warren's pass placement at times. At times, I thought he hit plays or through passes where the defender was instead of throwing passes like we saw Orgy where the defender wasn't. So I think in the summer he's going to be able to work on that, get that ball outside a little bit. But you got Loveland. That's a mismatch anywhere. And Warren put it on him.
You wanted that more a foot to the outside is what you're saying.
I want that thing a little bit more outside where only our guy can catch it. And I think he misses one. Later in the drive, that was really really showed it. All right, let's see what we got here. All right, Wildcat, I love seeing this. Remember, Donovan Edwards can throw the ball. He's got what, one or two touchdown passes in his career?
Well, he had one in the Big Ten.
He had one in the Big Ten championship. And did he have one? No, he didn't have one against. Did he have one against Ohio State? His junior?
No, Mullings threw that fourth and one, that jump pass.
Yep.
I still can't believe that they called it.
Yep. But
they did, and it worked.
So this is a neat little wrinkle with Donovan Edwards. I see this more with Donovan than Mullings or any of the other ones, but this is a nice little wrinkle. Tells everybody, well, now you better – what are you guessing? Look what happens right there. When they come out here, they've got to bring four guys. Now we got numbers over here. And so that's a good job. That's a good job.
I think this is the troll Ohio State. I think they know Khalil Mullings threw that fourth and one on him. They're like, hey, we're putting him back there at quarterback. And Ryan Day doesn't know what he's doing when he's watching this film.
Exactly. Exactly. So, again, 6 offensive linemen in the package. Nice job. Nice job. And we'll take one more here, Denny.
All right. In the red zone? All right.
Yep. Okay. Watch how fast Graham gets off the ball. He almost comes back and makes the play. He does things that I would not say do. He kind of goes around the back door to get to next door. But he does it so fast that he's almost right back in the play. This is something you don't want to do this too often, but when a guy with Graham like that, he just kind of takes that hole away and everything else is condensed. Love Barnum coming downhill, making a play. Good defense there. But all in all, Denny, I thought the spring game was very entertaining, and I thought we found some answers. I think we had some questions answered on Saturday. I think we know who our quarterback is. I think we have an idea of our line. Remember, Preeb and Al-Hadid did not play, and those are two guys that have started over the last couple of years, and they didn't play because of injury. So I think we're going to be we could be a little bit better there on the offensive line.
I love watching the tape. You go back, you know, you're watching it at the game, like I was. I go back and watch it on TV. But when you have somebody like you and you're walking through and pointing some of this stuff out, it really takes you inside the game. You find out a little bit more about it. I've enjoyed it. I used to not break down the film, but it's a lot of fun being able to watch you guys go through it and look at everything like that.
Yeah, Denny, I love breaking down film. I love watching film. The coach in me comes out. I remember Gary Muller telling me one time about college football coaching. He said, you know, it's not about loving football. It's about being obsessed with it.
Okay.
Because you're watching film all the time. And the more and more I hear some of these coaches, the Hurley out of Connecticut. I mean, he takes a day and a half vacation a year, something like that. It's incredible. And these guys, hats off to them. They do, they're obsessed. They give up so much, and that's their life, watching film and people.
I want to give it up to FBD here, who says Donovan Edwards also threw one against Ohio State this year, 34 yards. So nice memory there of Donovan Edwards. Yeah, in the Big Ten championship game.
That wasn't a touchdown pass, though. I remember that.
34 yards.
Yep, Big Diddy. I remember that. Like I said, Donovan Edwards in the Wildcats got to be a little bit challenging to the Big Ten.
Yeah, and that's the thing when you think about Michigan and you talk about, you think they'll be able to run as effectively as they did last year. They've got I don't know about the offensive line. I'm going to wait. You know, they've got the players up there, but Edwards, just the combination, even if I'm just going with two, Khalil Mullings, I know what he brings. He brings a hammer, downhill, physical runner. Edwards, he is proven. Even though last year, whatever it was, he talked about him working through the injuries. I'll buy that from him and from the confidence there. But he is also a proven star, Jerry. What he did in the first quarter of the national championship game, 41-yard touchdown, 46-yard touchdown. What he did with one arm against Ohio State when needed. 2 years ago when Blake Corum went down, that was one of the great performances ever by a Michigan running back. And yeah, last year people are like, is this the same Donovan Edwards? I get that. And then he is, if he, you know, I could see him being healthy and having his best year. But man, he is such a big play player. It's the kind of guy you need when you're talking about, there's not many teams out there that bring to the table a Donovan Edwards type ability.
Well, you know, Denny, when I was in high school, grade school, I remember a kid by the name of Ted Bell, who played at Cardinal Mooney High School well before me, and they won a state championship and beat some phenomenal teams, the Browner brothers, the Browns at Warren Western Reserve. And Ted started as a senior. They were 10-0. Cardinal Mooney was 10-0. And then the next year they were 5-5. And then the following year they ended up winning the state championship against Warren Western Reserve. And Ted had over 2,000 yards. You know, there's an old adage that junior junior year slump, especially when sophomores start and do a great job. That junior year seems to be that slump year. And I see Donovan coming back his senior year, totally committed, totally motivated, and I'm expecting big things out of him. But with that said, Mullins gives us great depth. Hall, we haven't mentioned. He gives us great depth. He came in this spring and did a nice job all spring long. Dunlap, I mentioned, ran hard. I mean, there were a couple times where he was met at the line of scrimmage and got 4 yards in that scrimmage. We got Marshall coming in from Cincinnati. That's going to be somebody exciting to see. I would like to have seen Cole Cabana a little bit, see what he would have brought to the table. Because I think maybe some of those holes that Dunlap hit and got big yards for, I wonder if Cole could have broke them, because he's got that kind of breakaway speed. So the running backs room has got a lot of personality, a lot of depth to it. I'm very excited about that.
So do the football insiders on this show. That includes you, Jerry. A lot of depth and a lot of insight and a lot of strength. We appreciate it. Great job. We want to remind everyone to smash that like button. We enjoy when you do that. And if you're somebody that listens on the podcast, any kind of comments, any kind of ratings, that helps us out as well. As always, we are over on the Maize and Blue Review all day, all night, talking about Michigan. Basketball's got a few things going on. You go, I think you know this, but I'm going to tell you anyways, you go to michigan.rivals.com and you join up the Maize and Blue Review, and you can just sit around and enjoy the Michigan talk all the time. Jerry, have a great weekend. Enjoy the draft tonight and tomorrow and whatever else you have in store for this weekend, now that you're back in the mitten, back in Michigan.
Denny, you as well. But remember, folks, we've got a brother in need. Brian Wallace on GoFundMe page. Every little bit would help that family, and we want to help our brothers. And so if you can go on that GoFundMe page, or if you want to visit Michigan Football Alumni and the TAP program, would be greatly appreciated. Hail to the victors.
There he is, Jerry Diario, here on this Friday. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll talk with you on this podcast on Monday. We'll see you over on the